Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. I'll be reading the first 10 verses and Andy will be concluding it. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
As Kathy said, our next scripture reading is a continuation of the first. So we will pick up the story in Matthew 28, beginning at verse 11. And while they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priest everything that had happened. After the priest had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ear, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story is still told among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. Well, my first question this morning is, where is everybody this morning? You know, we usually have twice as many people as this. The only people laughing were the people who are usually here on Sundays. We are so glad that you have joined us. Easter, Christmas are special days in the life of the church. And they're days when a lot of people come to church and they don't come the rest of the year. And some of you may be among those people in church circles, in the preacher world. We kind of secretly call you C&Es, Christmas and Easter. Now, I'm not saying that pejoratively, even though some people do. As a matter of fact, in many ways, you're better off than those of us who come week in and week out, because you're getting the core of the gospel over and over and over. You're getting incarnation and resurrection, the very core of the gospel. Now, there is a lot you're missing, okay? And those of you who come every Sunday, don't be sitting there proud, because there are a whole lot of people who come week in and week out who still just sort of hang on to that basic story without really exploring further into that story. You know, there's an old joke about a children's sermon on Easter morning, and the pastor asked the children, says, does anybody know what Easter is about? And this little girl raises her hand, and the pastor says, what is Easter about? And the little girl says, that's when baby Jesus comes out of the tomb. She had those two stories down. So, even those of us who come to church on a regular basis miss a great deal about the gospel story. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or anything, but I am going to ask a question. How many of you attended some kind of worship service during Holy Week other than Palm Sunday and Easter? You see, there's a whole lot in the gospel story that takes place just in the story between Palm Sunday and Easter. As a matter of fact, there's a whole lot more to the Easter story, because we have an entire Easter season until we get to Pentecost. So usually on Easter morning, we just have the one little snippet of the story about Jesus not being in the tomb. And I phrase it that way because none of the stories actually record Jesus coming out of the tomb. All of the stories are about the disciples, about the women discovering an empty tomb. And we have four distinct versions of that story. And what we really have is we have an evolution of the story in the four Gospels, basically in the order that they were written, because Mark was written first. It's not the way they are in the order of the Bible. Mark was written first, and then Matthew, and then Luke, and then John. Now, in the story of Mark, the Easter is it's a very short and fearful story. If you go and look at that story in the Gospel of Mark, it ends with everyone afraid, and the story is over. And then Matthew takes the very same story. And by the way, in all four stories, it's always the women who discover the empty tomb. And in Mark and Matthew, it's only women. The men disciples don't even come to the tomb in Mark and Matthew. But in Matthew, which we read this morning, a little bit more is added to the story. And then Luke adds more. As a matter of fact, Luke then adds the disciples coming to the tomb. And then John adds, as well as Luke, begins to add appearances of the risen Christ. So you see, this story evolves and it develops over the years. And this year, the lectionary has us in the Gospel of Matthew. I really do like Matthew's version of the story in many ways, because it takes the story and gives you a nice, concise, complete story of Easter. We have the women discovering the empty tomb. We have this glowing creature at the tomb telling the women to tell the men to go to Galilee. And then we have everybody going to Galilee to see Jesus. And then we have Jesus' final words to the disciples. All of this in the Easter story. Now, the one thing missing here is that there is no ascension, which later Gospels tell. But we've got this entire story here of Jesus telling his disciples, telling the women to tell his disciples, "Meet me in Galilee." Now, it all sort of reminds me of those picture puzzles. Did you ever do those picture puzzles where it says, "What's missing in this picture?" And you spend hours trying to figure out what's different and what's missing and so forth. Well, that's sort of the way the Easter story is to us. We've got this picture that we have of the Easter story. But then if we go into each gospel, we begin to see different pieces and different parts of it that speak to us in different ways. So, Matthew, it's sort of a all-in-one-day Easter story. And it's really not about the end of anything. Now, this is something that I would really like to share with you this morning, is that we have developed this vast theological construct through all of the years, which makes the resurrection the end of the gospel. It's the final battle. It's the victory. In some cosmic plan of salvation. And so the resurrection is what we're aiming for. And we get to the resurrection and it's the end of the story. But that's not the way we discover it when we read the Gospels. When we read the gospel stories, and especially this one in Matthew, we discover that the resurrection is the beginning. It is the beginning of following Jesus and faith in Jesus. Jesus tells his disciples, "I'm leaving you." We celebrated and commemorated that event on Thursday night in the Maundy-Thursday liturgy when we celebrate and commemorate that Last Supper. And during that whole discourse, Jesus keeps telling his disciples, "I'm leaving you, I'm leaving you, but I'm not leaving you alone." In one version of the story, he says, "I'm sending an advocate to you, the Spirit of truth." And he keeps saying, "I'm not leaving you. I am with you." And the Gospel of John goes so far as to say, "I'm not only with you, I am in you." And so the resurrection is the beginning of this story. That's why at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "Go into all the world, baptizing people, making disciples, and teaching them all that I have commanded you, because I'm with you always, even to the end of the age," which is another way of saying just as far as you can imagine. And what are we to do? We are to obey and teach and share the commandments of Jesus. And do you know what those are? Love one another as God loves you. That's in that dissertation of that Last Supper in John. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment to love one another as I love you. And in other places in the gospel, he has said, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second is just like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says this amazing thing. He says, this summarizes all of the law and the prophets. So when Jesus tells his disciples, go and obey and teach what I have commanded you, this is what he's saying. He's saying, love one another as God loves you. It's amazingly simple, isn't it? Amazingly simple, but oh, how difficult it is. Because we feel like we're on our own. We feel like we're being put out on our own, but we're not. It's not over. It's the beginning. You know, I was thinking early this morning about something I haven't thought about in many years. It was one of my old college roommates. This roommate of mine, I think he was a sixth-year senior. And he and a couple other guys and I lived in this house together. And me and another roommate came in one day, and our roommate was sitting in the living room, and he was absolutely despondent. And we said, oh, my goodness, what is wrong? What is wrong? I mean, we really thought maybe his parents had died or something, you know? And we said, what is wrong? And he said, oh, I just talked to my advisor, and I'm going to graduate. In many ways, that's kind of where we are in this Easter story, okay? That's where the disciples were in the gospel stories. That's why when you really get in and read these resurrection stories, they're filled with fear and doubt. What are we going to do without you, Jesus? What are we going to do? Why? We can't just love each other. And Jesus says, I am with you. Always. Always. So, today is not only Resurrection Day, it's graduation day. You remember how you felt when you graduated from high school? How fearful those next years looked. If you graduated from college, do you remember what it looked like? What am I going to do? But we have no worries. We have no fears. Because Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Before hearing our charge, in just a moment, we will all be singing the Hallelujah chorus together. Some of you have copies of that music that was in your bulletin. Not everybody got a copy of the music, so if there's a possibility to share that, please do. And I think we may have the words on the screen. Do we have that on the screen, Kathy? No words on the screen. Well, if you get lost, just sing out hallelujah, okay? And at the highest note you can reach. That's the way it's written, okay? You know that old saying, this is the first day of the rest of your life? You know that old saying? You know, it's really true. I really appreciated what Jeff had to say with the younger members of the church earlier when he said, you know, we celebrate resurrection today, but every day is resurrection day because Christ is with us. God is with us and in us and through us and around us. Every day is Christmas. Every day is Easter. We're all C&Es. And that is what the real message of the gospel is that Christ is with us and calls us to do one simple little thing, just one thing. Don't you think we could get it right? Love one another as God loves us. Amazingly simple. Amazingly simple. And it is kind of like graduation day. It's an ending and it's a beginning. I also remembered a story from my college days about the first day of class in an English lit class I was taking. And this professor was supposed to be really tough. And went into that class. And the professor said, the first thing I need to tell you is that everybody in this class will make an A. And we all looked around and said, come on, what? You got to be kidding. He says, no, I'm not kidding. You will make an A. The only way you cannot make an A is to stop coming to class, and then I'll give you an incomplete. But if you come to class, you will make an A. And I want to tell you, that was the best class I ever had. I learned more in that class than I, because the pressure was off. And in many ways, that's what Easter does for it. It just takes the pressure off. This is good news, my friends. In Jesus' grade book, you've all got an A. And I don't know about you, but when I got an A, I wanted to sing hallelujah.